Looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polititalk with Michael and Mary Beth. All right, hey, we're here, and we're early tonight.
Yes.
It's been a...
It's been a very long week.
Very trying week. Still not feeling the best, but hey, just had a lot going on this week, so we're coming on a little bit early tonight on this pre-Father's Day show.
Yes.
You got something to start us off with over there tonight?
Yes, I do.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Tonight's title is Walking on Water. Come, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? The question that Jesus asked was rhetorical. He asked, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? It didn't require an answer. But let's answer the question anyway. The Bible tells us, But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. He was terrified of the boisterous wind. Isn't that our problem when in certain circumstances make us afraid? Instead of looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we naturally look to those around us. So the next time the wind blows, look beyond those around you. Look to Jesus and his ability and integrity to keep his word. He will cause all things to work together for good. Instead of sinking in fear, get a good grip on yourself and trust him. Jesus will lift you up. Being a Christian means that we walk hand in hand with God, live above our circumstances, and therefore keep our heads above water. Tonight's soul search is, what winds am I afraid of? How can I rid myself of that fear? And the prayer, Father, sometimes I'm so lacking in faith. My fears reveal that. I need you to be my strength today and forever.
Amen. So later on in the show tonight, I'm sounding froggy tonight, don't I?
Yes.
Later on in the show tonight, we're going to be covering some thoughts about Father's Day and digging into the Word a good little bit about what the Bible teaches us about Father's Day. And just thought that'd be a good thing for this week, given that it is Father's Day on Sunday. Yes. And well, you ready to jump into these hot button topics here?
Ooh-wee.
Politics. Current events. It's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news. I guess there are two really big stories on the forefront of people's minds. One is what's going on with Trump, and the other is what's going on with Biden.
You know, it's seriously like watching a ping pong match.
It is. And I got a very interesting recording that came from some of the Senate hearings surrounding information has come out, you know, in the last week, alleging things about Biden and some very serious allegations that, you know, seems like there's a lot of gaslighting going on. And I'm going to start with this little clip. I want to see what everybody thinks about it. You heard it kind of briefly before the show.
Yes.
But let's roll this out here.
Deputy Director Abadi, is it true that the FBI has a report making those allegations?
I'm not going to comment on that, Senator.
And why is that?
I'm just not going to comment on information we received, investigations, or
you owe an matters. Obligation to the American people to be candid about evidence of corruption by the President of the United States?
This is an area that I'm not going to get into with you, Senator.
Well, I understand you don't want to, and that's why people are mad at the FBI, because you're stonewalling and covering up serious allegations of evidence of corruption from the president. Yesterday, Senator Chuck Grassley stood on the Senate floor and alleged that there are 17 recordings of this informant from Burisma, Ukrainian natural gas company. 15 of them are recordings, voice recordings of him talking to Hunter Biden. 2 of them are voice recordings of him talking to Joe Biden. Deputy Director Abate, does the FBI have 17 voice recordings laying out evidence of a bribery scheme?
Senator, I would add also that we've worked with the House Oversight Committee.
Yeah, this is the Senate. We're the other side of the Capitol. This is the Senate. Do you have those 17 recordings?
I'm not going to comment on any investigative matters, Senator.
See, that's the problem.
Sick 'em, Ted.
Everybody who knows that that's, who is it?
That's Senator Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz.
And, you know, he's right. I mean, I don't care what your service is, whether you're military, if you're a politician, if you work for the FBI, the CIA, if those things have already been sort of like letting the cat out of the bag that those things exist, what is the point now to try to stonewall, to try to push it down and everything else? Because this is just going to keep going and going and going. And wasn't it Grassley, Senator Grassley, who started drawing up articles of impeachment for Joe Biden? I'm like, go, Senator Grassley.
Here's another thing. And this article came out this afternoon, as a matter of fact, not even 2 hours ago. Biden lashes out at reporter asking why FBI informant file referred to him as the, quote, big guy as a dumb question. Now, the FBI has a document that alleges Biden's involvement in a criminal bribery scheme, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he lashed out to this reporter Thursday who asked this question. And the other thing was, why did the Ukraine FBI informant file refer to you as the big guy, President Biden? Why is the term continuously applied? The New York Post reporter, Stephen Nelson, asked Biden, following his remarks at an event. He said, why do you ask such a dumb question?
Is it?
Yeah, is it? Really? I mean, you know, according to a source familiar with the FBI-generated FD-1023 form, a confidential human source told the FBI in June of 2020 interview that Biden, while serving as vice president, was paid $5 million, which we covered that last week. And they're questioning him about it. Last week, the question is, where's the money? Now it's, no, it's a stupid question.
Yeah, they're in shell corporations and all kinds of other nice little hidey holes.
So, you know, there's so much to unpack here, but there's just not quite enough information has been released to completely unpack this.
No, but you know, I'm sorry. I don't know who. Now, when I started my career and I was working in media, they always told us that you never wrote for anybody above like a seventh grade education.
Mm-hmm.
Is that who they think that Americans are? Are those that only have a seventh grade education? Because those of us who completed school, and even those of us that went like further on, I think we're a little bit smarter than that. I think, you know, we're getting to the head of the matter. And, you know, it's not just the money. It's all the documents that have been popping up hither, thither, and yon. And he's had them since he was a senator. And he shouldn't have had access to those, nor when he was a vice president.
Well, I don't know if anybody got a chance besides us to catch wind of Sean Hannity when Levine was on.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, there was some truth to what he was saying. You know, if President Trump is being charged with 37 counts or whatever it is, then Hillary Clinton should be charged with 10,000 counts. That's how many emails she destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
She should be charged with destroying 5 cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
That's how many phones she destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, how many documents have they still not, you know, there's a oversight committee on Biden as well for these confidential documents that he legally did not have a right as vice president to remove them. Now, Donald Trump, he can declassify as a president, but I'm not sure. And, you know, it's not really about Trump. It's not really about DeSantis. Right now, it's about getting this country back in some kind of an order.
Yeah, and it's so bad right now.
And Biden's not the way. Harris is not the way.
No. And if they should be, if they are bringing, the thing that bothers me the most is that they are bringing charges against Trump, and they have brought charges against Trump that had no fact tied to it.
Yep.
You know, even after the fact, there's no credible evidence that said he did whatever he did. And so now the FBI is going mum about all of this with Biden, and there is credible proof.
Well, these audio tapes were supposedly kept as an insurance policy in case this executive with Burisma needed them.
Oh, I'm sure.
And this is going to be the kind of thing that, you know, can cause some you know, catastrophic and cataclysmic events for President Biden. And,
there's so many things that are coming out just in little spurts here and little spurts there that Joe is at the center of. And it's very interesting who is going out of their way to protect him. And the question is why?
Yep.
What is so great about protecting him? The man is old, he is feeble, and clearly he is about making a buck.
Well, you know, here's the other side of this whole tale, the part that flips over to Trump. You know, that indictment is not the slam dunk case liberal media believes it is.
Oh, of course not.
And there was also your favorite person, Rachel Maddow.
Oh.
She actually got said on TV that they refused to play President Trump's live address to what was going on because they would not play anything that was not true. Then you better just shut down your whole news station.
When I saw that, I was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, she's always been, what's the word I want to use? A nice word that I want to use. Pugilistic, verbally pugilistic.
Yep.
For anything that is anywhere on the right platform at all, whether you're a moderate or whether you're, you know, just straight up conservative, and the things that she says, it makes her sound stupid.
Well, that the whole liberal media's pronouncements that Donald Trump is almost certainly guilty of crimes are based on an ignorance of the law and a blinding political bias.
Oh yeah.
And if you don't think that what is going on right now is not a form of tampering with politics right now, do you think that it's not coincidental that it's happening right now either?
And you know, it's so bad because the people of the United States are being treated like children who cannot possibly understand the big people issues. And I find that very disrespectful. I find that, honestly, it's like they are involved in domestic terrorism because they're not telling this country what's going on and they're acting on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we the people are asked for our opinions on everything, but maybe we should be.
Yep. Well, the thing is, and it's like we've heard said before, you know, it doesn't take much to bring charges against someone for anything.
No.
It was once said that you could file charges against a ham sandwich if you wanted to. and a lot of that is true. And, you know, this, you know, the Trump's principal defense rests with the PRA, the Presidential Records Act. It's not you know, foreseeable is what William Barr claims. The law was passed by Congress in 1978, and it granted an exclusive right of former presidents to maintain custody and control of presidential papers accrued during their terms in office. Arguably, it includes classified documents. Okay? So this is, you know, this is what they're basing their angles on and talking about this. But how many of those same type of documents did Joe Biden have? You hadn't heard that discussed once, have you?
Nope.
Just like the laptop. Just like the bribery scheme. Just like these tapes. Mum's the word. But if this were President Trump still in office, they would be knocking down the doors in the presidential suite in the White House saying, you know, you're out of here. You need to resign as president. It would be a Nixon moment. Wouldn't you think?
I would think we're a lot closer to whatever kind of gate they're going to call this.
Yep.
Than we have been in any years previous. And that includes even during President Trump's time as president. You know, there was a lot of like hinky business going on there. But I mean, now with everything else going on and taking money from foreign powers, like what is being alleged against President Biden. Yeah, I think we're in for a whirlwind campaign year.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, it's not, like I said earlier, you hear say Trump, you hear say Biden a lot, because those are the two names in the forefront on this back and forth. It's about getting the right person in office right now that is going to carry this country back in the direction that it needs to be in. We are not a you know, set up as a you know, social, in a social system like everybody's trying to make it. This country was never about that. And there are enough people that are trying to make this almost a communistic society that people have got to be leery of. They've got to be prayerful of. And watching all, you know, keep your eyes open and keep your head and your eyes pointed towards God looking for answers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and going into another facet of this, which I talked to you about the other night, how all of this information's coming out about Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that have heard, well, you better not vote for DeSantis because he's being backed by Hillary Clinton. And there's a supposed video of Hillary Clinton, you know, announcing, you know, that she was backing him and different things. But guess what, folks? Here's where AI is coming in and trying to, once again, put a mix in something and try to make people think a false reality.
I'm not always the most tech savvy person in the world. You know, I'm doing fine to get by with a smartphone and, you know, some other different types of technology. And the one that really is disturbing me right now is ChatGPT.
Yeah.
I had a coworker show me something that he was doing on that, and it absolutely blew my mind. And I'm like, look, all I'm going to say, y'all better catch up watching on the Terminator again. And so many people laugh at me when I say that, but I'm being totally serious because this is exactly the direction this stuff is going.
Well, I've got two things for you concerning AI.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about Paul McCartney? The story about...
I heard something about a song.
So right now, Paul McCartney is working with a form of AI that's going to allow him to finish a Beatles album with all the voices of the original Beatles, including, you know, John, all of them. And they're going to be able to he's going to be able to finish an album and a new recording with all of them singing with the help of AI.
And that's just weird.
If there are enough phrases out there with your voice for this technology to catch on, it can be recreated. And proof of such is a story that's been popping up of a parent's worst nightmare. There were some scammers who used AI of a young girl's voice, and they called and threatened an Arizona mom and demanded a $1 million ransom. And the little girl's voice was heard by the mother. She said that was her daughter's. She said she, you know, it was an unknown call, and she chose the answer, and it was her daughter sobbing and crying, saying, "Mom." And at first she thought nothing of it. And she said, "What happened?" She said she had the phone on speaker, and she was walking into the parking lot to meet her sister. She told the panel, and then as she was picking up her younger sister from dance rehearsal, she said, "Mama messed up," said the person she thought to be her daughter. And she recognized her daughter's sobs and cries, and then she heard, "Mom, these bad men have me. Help me, help me." And it wasn't just her voice. It was her cries. It was her sobs. And she believed it to be her daughter. And suddenly a male voice got on the phone line and demanded a $1 million ransom, threatening. And a vulgar man took over the call and says, "Listen here, I have your daughter. You call anybody, you call the police, I'm going to pump her stomach so full of drugs. I'm going to have my way with her. I'm going to drop her in Mexico, and you'll never see your daughter again."
That is very creepy. I heard another story that it was a scam on a dating website.
Mm-hmm.
Something very similar. All of these men thought that they were talking to a woman, and it was being used as a almost like a money scheme. And they found out that was AI too.
Yep.
I saw a picture that was created with AI that was supposed to look like a photograph. It nailed it.
Yep.
And so you can't trust anything anymore. Now you have to be on your toes all the time. It's not just people trying to steal your identity. Now they're able to do things and just terrorize people.
Yep. Well, this is the type of technology and the things that are happening that, you know, some of these things, you know, is people turning a little bit more evil without a better way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all these things that are happening, you know, some things are becoming quite cyclical, you know, in the things that have happened. So think back to 2018, 2019, 2020, what was going on?
COVID.
What else was going on during the summer?
During the summer. Oh, you mean the summer of peace and love?
Oh, yeah. So, to give you a little point of this with things being cyclical and things turning back around, did you hear the story about Starbucks?
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
So, BLM has been called out after Starbucks has to pay out $25 million to a fired white employee. So
that's interesting.
Shannon Phillips was fired in 2018 amid racial backlash over treatment of black men at a Philadelphia Starbucks. Okay.
Is this the one where the guys came in and they asked to use the bathroom?
I'm not sure. She said, accused the Black Lives Matter organization of operating like a Ponzi scheme, after a former Starbucks manager was awarded $25.6 million in a lawsuit claiming that she was fired for being white.
Oh.
She was terminated in 2018 in response to national backlash over the arrest of two black men at a Philadelphia location.
Mm-hmm.
Ferguson and Starbucks likely view the payout as money well spent, since the firing helped quell the anger of BLM and other activists. Okay. So, this went to a federal court in New Jersey. She sued Starbucks in 2019 over allegations of racial bias and discrimination. It took an eight-member panel, nearly 5 hours, to award $25 million in punitive damages and $600,000 in compensatory damages.
Well,
determining that her skin color played a decisive role in her termination.
That's interesting.
So she worked for Starbucks for 13 years and oversaw roughly 100 cafes, was fired less than a month after Dante Robinson and Rashawn Nelson were arrested at Spruce Street store on April 12th for refusing to leave a table. So the incident captured on cell phone video quickly went viral, and Starbucks faced intense scrutiny for the treatment of the two black men, who said they were waiting for a business associate and hadn't ordered anything when a manager called the Philadelphia police on them. Phillips was not present. Okay.
So she wasn't even
She wasn't even there. So.
Well, yeah, that's a great reason to fire somebody. I mean, I worked for Starbucks once upon a time, and I wasn't really thrilled with their politics at that point. And it was before they changed CEOs. It was before the company was, you know, trying to appease everybody of every possible group that has an itch to scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like some of their policies. I didn't like the way they did things. You know, I didn't like the fact that because of where the location was that I was working at, they were allowed to use EBT cards to purchase coffees. You know, I didn't think that a lot of these things were right. Wow. And I mean, I really don't agree with Starbucks, which is why I don't, very rarely will I ever stop there and get a coffee. I mean, I have to be like dead on my feet. And there's no Dunkin' around, and there's no gas station.
You know, out of all this, it just realizes me even more to know how important prayer is for the things that's going on in this world, right?
Well, not only that, but, you know, we have got to, as a country, we've got to come together.
Yep.
on things, and we've got to put an end to some of this stuff, because we are letting businesses, we are letting other countries, we are letting those who are supposed to be representing us rule us. And whether we see it or not, that's exactly what's happening.
Yep. So I've got two interesting things before we move into the message.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a really interesting story that I heard related to an academy sports somewhere in North Carolina.
Okay.
So I don't know where in North Carolina this was, but there was a veteran who had come through line, and this story was being told by the third person in line. So picture this. So you have the veteran at the register.
Mm-hmm.
You have a person behind the veteran who is wearing an LGBTQ shirt. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have this person standing behind them. So the veteran goes up and presents his, you know, veteran ID and receives a 10% discount. So, and then he gets ready to leave.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he's done with his transaction, the person gentleman with the LGBTQ shirt on, asks if there's a Pride Month discount.
Okay, great.
For his 10% off.
Mm-hmm.
And the person with Academy told him that, you know, no, they don't have a discount for anything like that. The veteran then turns around and looks at the gentleman in the shirt and says, you know what? I didn't get a discount because I'm straight. I thought your whole movement was about equality. But it seems to me that it's not about equality. It's about you wanting something special because you choose to live an alternative lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So then the gentleman with the LGBTQ shirt turns on, looks at the guy at the register and demands to see a manager. I want to see a manager. Manager comes up. The whole conversation takes place again. And the manager proceeds to tell the gentleman, says, well, you know, we do not have a discount for that. But I will gladly give 10% all day long to someone who comes in here that has laid his life or her life down for their country, for their protection, for their community, whether it be a serviceman, servicewoman, firefighter, paramedic, whatever. But we, because they deserve our respect.
And our gratitude.
Yeah. And so I thought, number one, that was kind of interesting to have somebody, you know, put a spin on that when, you know, this person come directly in behind them and expected something just because they were different.
Mm-hmm.
The final story is, and this is really cool. So think about the old story Baywatch, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How popular that was, you know, how much of a cult classic and all for a lot of people that's became, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a new show that we've actually watched that has actually surpassed Baywatch in popularity, and the series is to be translated into more than 600 languages. You know what that series is?
No.
The Chosen.
Wow.
Yes. So that gives a lot of hope. And let me tell you, folks, if you have not started watching The Chosen, it's available on Prime. It's available on PureFlix. You definitely want to watch The Chosen because it's very interesting and you will learn so much from it. So I just thought that was kind of cool.
Definitely.
You ready to roll into the message?
Yeah.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message. So tonight, you know, it's not our typical message, but, you know, wanted to cover some fine points. You know, normally when Father's Day comes around, messages focuses on the qualities of a good father or a list of what things a godly father should be doing. As tempted as I am to go in that direction tonight, I'd rather to take the time to look at the fundamental root issue that fathers, as well as all people, really deal with in their lives. But since Sunday is Father's Day, we'll talk about how these issues as it relates to fathers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, feel free after tonight to insert whomever you like in the place of fathers. Both the need and the message are the same. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, eat and drinketh, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." So the goal of every father is, especially those dads who know the Lord, you know, as their Savior, is to model fatherhood after God, the Father. Okay? The other thing is this model does not have any defects, right? God is perfect in nature. God is therefore perfect as a father, right? The Bible gives us a key. Three times in Scripture we see God addressed or referenced to as Abba, Father. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus refers to God as Abba, Father, as he is praying for the cup he has to drink to be removed. This is the term Jesus uses. It is a term of intimacy. It's also used in the context of fear that the relationship between God the Son and God the Father would change because of the cup. The second occurrence in this, in the Bible is in the book of Romans, where the Apostle Paul tells us that we can call God Abba Father because of our sonship with him. Paul here stressing the assurance of our relationship with God, since through Christ we have been adopted into the family of God. So intimate is that adoption that we can refer to God in the most special of terms. The third passage is found in the book of Galatians, where once again the Apostle Paul teaches us to call God Abba Father. What is different here is a subtle but significant. Instead of focusing on our assurance, Paul is saying to the Galatians that since you are children of God, that you start acting like it. So the key to this phrase is that it looks at the entire area of being a father. The relational, Abba, the positional, Father. So what I would like to share with you is what I believe to be a key to being a two-sided dad. Not a two-faced dad, but a two-sided dad. A dad of position and a dad of relationship. And believe it or not, it all comes down to our heart. Just like Solomon said, what we think in our hearts is what we are. Okay? Jesus, by the way, would say it as well when he talked about the issue of what comes out of our hearts in Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So what we tell ourselves about others affect how we interact with them. The most powerful words in the universe are the words you say to yourself. And that was a text, that was a quote from Marie for Leo. Another quote is, it's not the things that upset us, it's our judgment about things. And that was from Epictetus. So thoughts determine our actions. That's the way we want to think. So let me give you a story. Let's say you have folks in your house that are organizationally challenged. We'll put it nicely. So, not a hard sell, as many of us are, me included sometimes. Mary Beth included sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now let us say that you spend a considerable amount of time cleaning and organizing a room or a cabinet, etc. And the following day, you find that someone has, quote-unquote, messed up your recent cleaning and organizing.
I hate that.
Yeah. So maybe they left stuff out, didn't clean up after themselves. You get the picture, right? We look at this mess and we conclude that they've disregarded my work. They are determined to live in squalor for the rest of our lives. We will never dig ourselves out of this mess, and we feel irritated and bothered, and rightly so, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the sight of what we see that has the power or influence to irritate us. It's the meaning we attach to what we see that does. The meaning we attached is the story we tell ourselves about what we've just seen. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans that we live with two influences as a follower of Christ. The influence of our old nature that hangs around even though we're dead to it, and our new nature, the one Paul wants us to embrace by living like God's children. Okay? Each and every situation we face will bring response from one of these natures. Okay? We listen to our old nature that screams to act like we were before Jesus. And we listen to our new nature that screams for us to live graciously and lovingly and like Jesus. So let's call the first one our primal state. Okay? Just like we were when we were running around without Jesus, it is reactive and it accuses others. It gets angry. It is controlled by fear and rejection. So let's call the other one our powerful state after all, okay? We are a new creature in Christ. We've been given a spirit of power. Because we are new creatures, we possess new qualities if we want to use them. We can be generous. We can be loving. We can be forgiving. We can be calm. What we tell ourselves about what we see our kids doing will affect how we father our kids. When we choose to act like our old selves too much, we will probably get compliance grudgingly, but we will get it. We only see what we have done and how it has been disregarded. When we choose to act like the new selves we are, we will take the time to see if something happened that had to take priority over what we first saw and disregard as and not caring about what we did. Sometimes it would just be kids being kids. And by the way, if you have boys, their minds do not fully mature until they're like 25, right?
At least.
So when we look at what happened with our new selves, we can approach the situation with the love and grace it deserves. In the end, also the compliance, but not at the expense of our relationship with our children, right? We do not lose the dadness while still being the father. And if I can give you one final thought here, regardless of the situation, you can never go wrong as a dad when you always look for the best in the situation instead of assuming the worst, right? 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Doing these things are the catalyst for an environment of trust and closeness in your relationship as a dad. What'd you think about that over there tonight?
I liked it. Because, you know, the way that the world is now, you know, we don't have the necessarily the nuclear family anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's divorce, there's, you know, same-sex parents, there's adoption, there's just a variety of things that go on. And being a dad is a very big deal to kids. And if they don't have a dad that participates in their life, then they don't necessarily know how to be men when they grow up, if they're little boys. And, you know, usually little girls are little daddy's girls, and they're the first man that a girl ever loves.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that there's more to being a dad than just producing a child.
Oh, yeah. A lot more. You know, there's so much I could say and so much can't say. You know, it's hard making all the right decisions and doing all the right things, and you're never going to do it. You're never going to make everybody happy.
Well, life doesn't come with a handbook, and certainly parenting does not come with a handbook.
Nope. But, you know,
we do the best we can.
Trying to follow things definitely, you know, can help and guide you in the right direction. And I would just ask, you know, if there's anybody listening for the first time tonight, or you've been listening for a little while, or, you know, you're trying to figure this whole God thing out, okay? Go make sure you're taking those steps. Make sure you take the first step. You know, be willing to turn from sin and repent. And be willing, you know, believing that Jesus died for you and was buried on a cross and rose from the dead to pay the price. And be willing to invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And if you talk to Jesus, invite him into your heart, and let him know that, you know, you repent and that you turn from sin and you accept his payment, your life can change. You know, just simply by doing that, getting involved in a good Bible-based church. That's what we talk about all the time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting yourself a Bible. Start reading the Bible. Don't jump to the end. Start at the beginning. Get it all. Get involved in a, you know, good small group. Start talking with like-minded people. Start learning from each other. You know, start praying together. Start learning how to pray. Goodness, I mean, there are many things in this country and all over the world, things that need prayer, more now than ever.
We're in a messed up world.
We certainly are, you know, and don't feel like God doesn't know what's happening. God knows it's happening. But, you know, we know in the end, we know who the winner is. So you need to keep that faith. Need to keep believing in it and just, you know, lean into God, you know, have that prayer time every day. Let it develop, let it grow. You got any final thoughts over there tonight?
I have no final thoughts. I think I gave my final thoughts earlier. I think I'm out of final thoughts.
She's like, I didn't have a first thought to begin with. I'm thoughtless.
No, I'm just... My brain feels like it has deflated.
Yep. Well, folks, like I say, this week we came on a little bit early just because, you know, we've had a kind of a tough week and some health issues and concerns. But, you know, grace of God, we'll get through it and, you know, things will start to get better and, That's what we're praying about and praying for. So, yes. You know, as always, we appreciate you joining us. We hope that you'll join us again next week. Be on the regular time. We moved last week. We started moving that time back to our original time, which is 8 o'clock. So we're going to be here next Thursday at 8 o'clock instead of 6.
Because I get home late.
But we appreciate you joining us as always. Leave you with commercial here at the end. Reach out to us. Send us an email. Get us some prayer requests. Let us know if there's anything you want to hear on the show. We certainly appreciate it. We hope you join us next week.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at christianpolititalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolititaLK, @gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Jesus, take the wheel. Only way I'm getting to the other side. Days are getting dark. Life's a little hard. Blinded, but I'm trying not to lose sight. I don't got this. I know you got this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'll believe it before I see it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you're gonna see me through it. If anybody can, you can do it. God, I know in the trial, in the pain, fire, in the rain, you're gonna see me through. Can you can do it? And whenever my heart runs away, you say the day you're gonna see me through it. Who am I gonna call? The one who put it up there in the first place. Fool scared of tag, devil on my back. Better lace him up and go put on my game face. I don't got this, I know you got this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I believe it before I see it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you're gonna see me through it. If anybody can, you can do it. God, I know in the trouble.
Produced by Sound Image Productions.